from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live. But if you can't get out, tune in. Thanks for tuning in. Today it's Friday, June 5th, 2026. Oh, that reminds me, June 6th, tomorrow, downtown Northampton from noon to 5, I believe, is going to be a Juneteenth celebration. I think largely organized by the Northampton Youth Commission, I believe. Did I say like behind Thorns, I think, or like where the maybe the Armory Street lot or near where the Tuesday Market is. You're listening to Out There. For today's show, I have little clips of this and little clips of that. The clips that I promised that I suggested I might play for last week's show, but I didn't get around to it because I had a live guest last week, my new housemate, Alex Ola. For today, so I have a little story, not really quite a story, that I want to share. I didn't like write anything to prepare this, so I want to be kind of delicate to protect the innocent. But people who know me or have listened to this show know about my friend Dwayne. We were like partners for about 7 years and then best of friends for 7 years after that until he died of cancer two and a half years ago. And Dwayne also started Cans for Cancer out at Valley Recycling that I've continued, or some friends of mine and I, or some other people and I have continued. And Dwayne also had a son, had one child, one son that he was estranged from, not by Dwayne's choice, but or not by Dwayne's desire. Dwayne made some choices early on in his son's life. His son's like, I want to say maybe 34 now, early 30s, mid 30s. And Dwayne made some choices that resulted in the mom taking the son away, essentially, and telling the son nothing but bad things about Dwayne. And even though Dwayne like continued to try to reach out, the son never received his birthday cards, Christmas cards, things like that, is what I've heard. And so when Dwayne died, I was doing the funeral arrangements, and in order for Dwayne to be cremated, the funeral home had to get permission from the next of kin, which was Dwayne's son. And so we got in touch, and so we got in touch then, and the son came to the memorial 2.5 years ago. And that's the only time I'd met him. And he felt bad about not having reconnected with his dad before it was too late, and felt like he was ready in life to reconnect, but didn't quite make it in time. Anyway, I was in Kentucky a couple months ago, last month. When I got back from Kentucky, I was working at Cans for Cancer, and this man, I can call him a young man since I'm 52, comes with a Valley Recycling shirt on, comes walking across the lot and comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm working here now." And I was like, this guy looks familiar. He looks familiar. Oh, it's Dwayne's son. And so when I'm at Cans for Cancer, like I see Dwayne's son working at Valley Recycling, driving the trucks around and stuff. And so we kind of have this, connection. And it's special. And I appreciate it. And he came over to me today when I was at Cans for Cancer, and it was really, he was really feeling things. And he told me that, yeah, I got a postcard that my dad sent me, and it says at the end, it says, love pops, or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what the term of affection was. And his son said, I carry that around with me. So that's all I'll say on that for now. Next on Out There, I'm going to play a clip. I'll play this clip from yesterday. Yesterday, I was biking. No, I was not biking. I was scootering. On my big-wheeled kick scooter. Oh, while I fiddle with electronics, I'll tell you another story about my big-wheeled kick scooter. So in the past week, I have figured out, I'm patting myself on the back here, I've figured out how to ghost ride bicycles, because I often have to move bikes from one place to the other. Say, like, I find it, I find it as scrap metal and or illegal salvage it, divert it from scrap metal, and then fix it up and drop it off, you know, somewhere for somebody. I got to move bikes around, and since I'm not biking, it's a little harder to ghost ride them. And certainly, I'm not carrying them on the biking with a, on the back of a trailer. So I'm on this kick scooter. So I did figure out last week how to ghost ride a bike on my kick scooter. It's a little tricky because kick scootering one-handed, the steering is not as stable as being on a bike. And you got to have the other hand to hang on to the other bike. But if you got one hand on your one handlebars of your kick scooter and the other hand on the stem of the bike you're transporting, then you have another point of stability. So actually, it's not that unstable. I figured that out last week. And then this week, I needed to move a bike, but I didn't have my kick scooter. I had my electric scooter. And that's my stand-up electric scooter. They call those electric kick scooters maybe, but you don't really kick much just to get moving. But the trick with that is the right hand has the throttle, which makes it go. Otherwise, it doesn't go unless you kick it, but that's awkward because the platform's high and it's got lots of drag. The right hand has the throttle. The left hand has the brake, which if you're ghost riding a bike, then you need a third hand to hold onto the bike. Well, let's just say since I wasn't going anywhere if I didn't have a hand on the throttle, I had to ghost ride that bike left-handed and not have a hand on the brake. I was only on the bike path. I was only on the rail trail, so it was fine. And then when you let off the throttle, the kick scooter, the electric scooter, it slows down itself pretty good. But I was taking this bike. I was trying to take this bike from the bike lab to somewhere to give it away. And I got halfway to where I was going to leave it. And then there's a group of guys walking on the path. And one of them also had an electric scooter, same kind of as mine. And he was like, hey, nice scooter. And I was like, yeah, you got one too. And then he's like, where'd you steal that bike? No, just kidding. And I said, you want it? Look, it's even got a free sign on it. He was like, really? Sure. Yeah, I'll take it. Wow, thanks. Nice bike. It wasn't really a nice bike, if you ask me, but it was a functional bike, and that's a nice bike, all things considered. All right, with all that blabbing, you'd think I would have my next clip, this clip here ready to go. I think I have it ready to go. I got to turn all the volumes up because that's how this phone thing works. So this was when I was scootering yesterday to past Cooley Dickinson Hospital, and there was a group of nurses, employees, coming. See, I confused the desktop computer with the laptop.
Genesis. I work in the mammography.
Sorry, let me start that again. See, there's two sliders. One says laptop and one says desktop computer. And I don't know about computers. How am I supposed to know what means what?
I do mammograms, and we're just out here trying to fight for fair wages and a fair contract. They're only offering us 1.5% raise, and we feel like, I mean, they're the biggest, you know, employer in Massachusetts, so we know they're able to give it to us, and they have this reputation of being very, you know, giving and thoughtful and progressive, and we're just not seeing it with the negotiations. So we just want to get people some fair wages and make sure people have money for gas and food and all the essentials. So basically we're fighting for a living wage, we're going to keep fighting because we have to fight for our community. We're in a community hospital for a reason.
Yeah.
And I've been here since 2013, and I haven't left because I love serving the community. I love when it feels like a family setting and everyone gets taken care of, and you know, we don't have to rush like other hospitals that patients are just a number. So we feel like we should be being fairly compensated for that. We're not afraid of work. We just, you know, we want people to be taken care of because we're all family here.
How do you like your job?
I love my job. I do. I really do. It's I never thought I'd be doing it, because it's you know, it's a very unique field to get into. But after X-ray, I trained there, and it just I definitely feel like it's more meaningful work than doing X-rays, because you know we're finding breast cancer for, you know, doing preventative care. So yeah, I do love my job. I do.
Anything else you want to say?
I don't know. That's it. Fair wages, fair contract. I like the sign that says, will work for money, because it's simple, but it's true. Like we're hard workers. Everyone here is great with their patients. I see it. I hear it from the patients. So it'd be nice if they were, you know, compensated that way. I just ran into someone at Costco, I was returning something, and she said, hey, nice, I have the same bag. It was an MGB bag. And she's like, I just left there to come here because I get paid more, and my health insurance is even better.
Yeah.
At Costco. Yeah. So, I mean, I know Costco is a great company, but there's other places where they can go and get paid more than working in the hospital. They're cooking food here. They can go to Wendy's and make more, and that's, you know, that's scary. That's sad. We need our patients. Our patients need food. So, yeah. Yeah, we just want fair. And I know it's hard to get in this world, but we know we have to fight for it, and we will.
Yeah. Do you feel like giving any specifics about how much you're getting paid and how much you want to get paid? Or?
For me personally, I'll say we're more fighting for the bottom of the scale. So I'm, like, mammograms, I'm probably higher up on the scale. But I think my main concern is, I think for the lowest wage, they're offering $18.69. And that's just insane. When the living wage, when we started negotiating, it was $24 in this area. And since we've been negotiating for a couple months, it's already up to $26. So that's just a living survival wage that people need to do the regular things to live. So $18 It's sad.
Thanks for sharing. Appreciate it. Nice outfit.
Thank you.
Have you done that outfit before?
No, I was the mascot for Hoyo Kai when I was in high school. So I was just like, this seems like it fits. And I started looking them up on Amazon. I was like, oh, I can get one of these for like $30. This is great.
An inflatable, what do you call it?
Just inflatable suit. I just looked it up because I've gotten them before. Like I have a shark one. I have a gingerbread one. But this is great. It's like, because we're not trying to be like aggressive. We're, you know, we're happy people. We just want, you know, what we work for. That's all. Yeah, because it shows like a non-threatening, you know, type of protest.
Yeah. Bubble. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Of course. It's nice to meet you. What was your name again?
And that person's name was Genesis. Sorry, I cut off the very beginning of the clip, so you didn't get to hear her introduce herself from yesterday in front of Cooley Dickinson, Nurses Strike. And here's some chronics.
The pressures of your life and it tough. Now stay down, mama, time pick it up. Now bother with the down, full style, strictly up, full vibes. Now pick it up when the bills, them, the rent and the mortgage due. Yeah. When me chalice, when your best friends are gone and it's only you. Yeah. Light up a split, turn up the music. Skanking sweet, everybody wanna feel like free. Forget your troubles and your feel of reggae music, sweetie, yeah, yeah. Skanking sweet, everybody wanna feel like free. Forget your troubles and you rock with me. You know, feel of reggae music, sweetie, yeah, yeah. Skanking sweet, for every pain there's a melody, yeah. For every trouble there's a harmony that brings everything together. So make we sing together. And who said life no order? And every man got this struggle. I beg you to help me, Lord. And let me overcome my trouble. Skanking sweet, yeah. Everybody wanna feel like free. Forget your troubles and you rock with me. You know, feel a reggae music, sweetie, yeah, yeah. Skanking sweet. Everybody wanna feel like free. Forget your troubles and
body by hip stankin' sweet. Hit that river hip stankin' sweet. Yeah.
That's Chronix. Next on out there, I'm going to play my housemate interview. Yeah, play my housemate interview for the week. And this one is with my housemate, Ursa. This is with my housemate, Ursa, I have to figure out how to turn off the other thing from playing. No, I don't. I just got to turn the other slider. All right. Tell us, Ursa.
It's Monday, May 25th, 2026, also known as Memorial Day. Mm. Yay! School today. No school for you, Ursa?
No school for me today.
Pretty soon there's going to be no school for you for a while.
No school for me forever. Well, for a year. Yeah.
So you have two more days at Northampton High School?
Yeah, just Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's it for me.
Wow.
And I'm graduating.
Wow. When's graduation?
The graduation is on the 7th of June. It's on 6-7.
So you've been in high school for like 4 years, though.
For like 4 years, which is a pretty decent amount of time, I think.
Yeah. Any favorite things that you think about?
My favorite things about high school were all the friends that I made. I made the best friends. A lot of people tell me and my friends were very lucky to have met each other. I don't think people make friends like I have as young as I have made them, I think. Or so I've been told by people around me a lot. So I feel happy about that. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun, more fun than I could even say.
Yeah, it's been cool seeing you around with lots of people that you seem to enjoy. How have you made friends?
Honestly, all of my closest friends, I don't even really remember becoming friends with them. It's just like, just were one day. I didn't think that the people that I became friends with were like, I became close with them because they were the only people that I felt like didn't like judge me for like my lifestyle and the kind of person that I am. Like they were very, thought it was really cool instead of like thinking it was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. So most of your friends, are they also graduating, or are some of them going to stay still under, what do you call them?
Yeah, I have a couple younger friends. I have a couple friends in the grade below me, but no, they're pretty much all graduating, going off to do their own things right now. Me and my friend Sophie are taking a gap year together, and we're going to move. We're here all summer, and then we're going to move in the fall to New Zealand together for 6 months, and so I'm excited to do that with her. One of my best friends is moving to Ireland. She's going to Trinity Dublin, and then I've got people scattered all around the country now, too. So we're going to Ohio and California, New York, you know.
Well, so are you and Sophie going like through Woofing or something, or what are you doing?
So we're doing a program. It's a program that you pay for, but it's a cost positive experience. So you pay them some money up front, and then they provide you with a job in the country. And then they provide you with a job, and they set you up and help you get your work visa and whatnot. And they give you affordable housing, and then so you pay for the housing that they give you a little bit out of your paycheck, and then in the end you like are walking away with a good amount of money from the job they set you up with, which is cool.
What's that program called?
It's called like Adventure Expo, something like that.
Do you know what kind of work you'll be doing?
Just similar work that I'm doing here. I have a job just like, they just got me an interview with this woman who was like, yeah, you can come work for me as a barista in Queenstown, and Queenstown, New Zealand. And Sophie got a job at the same place as me. So we'll be roommates and we'll be working together at the same place, which is pretty cool.
Do you think you'll go to college after that?
Then I think I will go to college after that. I'm going to go to the University of Maine in Maine. And study like environmental science, and then Sophie's going to Pratt for a writing program in New York.
Are you nervous about accumulating college debt?
I'm not so nervous about accumulating college debt because LaFleur and I didn't take out any loans, and that they gave me pretty cheap tuition over there. I mean, it's still like a lot of money, but it's also like, you know, with my mom and Alex's help and then my own money that I put into it and other family members, like, I hopefully will be able to cover it year to year without any issues.
You played a lot of sports in high school. How many different sports did you play?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I did track, softball, and ultimate frisbee. I feel like maybe even one more that I'm forgetting. But oh, it's skiing. Yeah. Four sports, I think. Yeah, that was fun. I liked ultimate frisbee the most. I hope I keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, that was the end of that interview. That was with my housemate, Ursa. Well, we used to call her Ursa Minor. But then she turned 18 last fall, I believe, and now we call her Ursa Major. So she can do interviews on Out There without being a minor. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Next up, we have another clip here.
Thursday, May 28, 2026, the tiny art boxes. The one by my house is being refilled by, what's your name?
My name is Tracy Burke.
And how did you come to be the curating this display here?
The art teachers of Northampton were contacted by the Tiny Gallery Project. Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted to jump right in on this opportunity to be able to display my students' work. Yeah.
And where your teacher where?
At Smith Vocational.
So what's going on here? Can you describe
So at Smith Vocational, we have the Viking Runestone, which is an art and literary book that we make every year. This is volume 8, so we've been doing it for 8 years. And this is some of the artwork that's from that book. And it spans between like acrylic paintings, charcoal drawings, watercolor. And then inside of this tiny gallery, we also have some wire and clay figures that are meant to be the audience staring at the artwork.
Okay. The Viking Runestone.
Yes, yeah.
Viking is a Smith folk mascot.
It is, yeah.
All right.
Hence the name.
Okay. So that you said they've been working on that book for 8 years?
So yeah, we have put out a volume every year. So this is the 8th edition of the book. Okay. Yeah. And we release it in the spring. We work on it all year, and then we have the graphics department print the book and the kids assemble it, and then we have art that's pulled from my classes and kids submit art, and we also have creative writing that's submitted by students as well, and also by the English department.
Okay, all right. So yeah. Cool. It's like a, what do you call it, like an anthology? I don't know if that's the right word.
We use art and literary book just to like be a catch-all for everything.
I guess what I mean is it's a collection of different sort of not necessarily related artworks.
Yeah,
it's not like
yeah.
a novel
No,
book.
It's not yeah, like yeah. a theme every okay. year. We keep it okay. very open so that we get as many submissions as possible.
Cool. All right, how many students would you say contributed to this?
54. Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Are you a math and statistics teacher?
No, I had to write a grant for it. So like they asked that type of stuff for it. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
And that was Tracy Brooke from Smith Folk. The tiny art boxes that she was, the one that she was filling for the series. There's 5 of them, I believe, along the rail trail between State and Stoddard Streets at the bottom end of the rail trail by Stop and Shop, going on up to the upper end by Bridge Road and Look Park. Check them out. I believe they're all by students in the area. Next on Out There, we have Joshua. I was in Greenfield last week sitting in front of the Greenfield Library and ran into Joshua.
All right, it's Thursday, May 28th, 2026. I'm here at the Greenfield Public Library out of the bike racks. And this guy came out and was poking around at the racks. What's your interest in these bike parking racks? And what's your name?
Hi, my name is Joshua Reuter, and I am the designer and creator of these bike racks.
Wow, so you're just checking them out this morning to see how the use is?
Yeah, I like checking in and watching people play with them and use them for their bikes and seeing how the paint is holding up, uh-huh, as it's been about a year since they've been installed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've mostly been using them to lean the bike against, well, it's not leaned against them right now, but I've been using them to prop up the bike. Yeah. And the position is important for me because I like to sit on the concrete wall in the shade and still be able to reach the rack. And it's in a good spot.
Good.
How did you get the idea for these racks, or how did the so maybe if you can describe them a little bit and talk about the process,
sure,
of getting them here?
Yeah, so there are a total of 14 bicycle racks here at the library. There's 7 different tree shapes that are in the front of the library that are all painted green, and then there's 7 different bird shapes in the back of the library that are all different colors and based on different local birds.
I got to check that out. What kind of birds are represented?
There's an owl, there's a finch, there's a bluebird, a duck, yeah, canary, rock dove, also a pigeon.
Wow.
I like calling them rock doves better than pigeons.
Yeah.
It's more noble.
So are you an avid cyclist?
Actually, I'm not. I mean, I have biked before, and I think that biking is a wonderful way to get around, a mode of transportation. The way that I came to these is there was a call for art, and this was the most exciting project to work on. So they wanted designs for sculptural bike racks, and I'd never made one before, and figured it out.
How did you figure out what would work for different types of locks, different types of bikes, things like
that?
Yeah,
in the request for proposals, there was some information about standard types of bike racks, and I did a whole bunch of research about all the different bike racks that exist out there. Most of these are the deciduous trees are a riff off of the post and loop bike rack. I guess so are the coniferous trees too. So I looked at all the different bike rack designs, knew that it needed to be big enough so that people could lean their bikes against it, and a complete closed loop shape so that you cannot slip the lock off of it. Gave people different heights for small bikes or big bikes, and I even made little spots down at the bottom because I was told that people like to lock their scooters, and with many bike racks, you can't lock your scooter to them. So I was trying to give people lots of different options for where they could attach their bike to, while also not being the size that kids' heads could get stuck in them.
I appreciate the scooter thing because I'm riding a scooter a lot now too. Do you have like a shop or something, or where'd you make these?
Yeah, so I made these in my studio. I am a metal worker and a stone carver, and so I had to get some new equipment to be able to bend tubing and work on these pieces. But I do lots of welding and fabricating.
Yeah, I guess it would have been hard to make bike racks out of stone.
Probably, yeah. I think they would either be too thin and fragile or too thick and hard to get your lock around.
Yeah, what kind of stone carving projects do you do?
So I primarily work with marble that I go and I source from old quarries all around New England.
Uh-huh.
And I carve them into mostly abstracted human forms.
Uh-huh. Cool. Let's see, anything else? Anything else?
Come by the Greenfield Library and use the bike racks. Lock your bike to it and come explore inside.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That was Joshua Reuter, I think he said his name was. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Got one more little clip from the Nature Front. I call this one Turtle Talk.
Really?
Wait a minute. Ooh, something. Sorry, I got something.
Hey, turtle? I wonder if I can interview
you. Sorry. Okay. Yep. This was on my way back from Valley Recycling on the rail trail a couple days ago.
Hi, Turtle. I wonder if I could interview you. I think. Are you trying to cross the rail trail? Whoa, this asphalt is hot. Are you just feeling how hot it is? Once you start, it's a little ways. Like, what if you get stuck in the middle? And then after you cross the rail trail, then what? You're trying to get to the stream down there? And then there's Route 10. Be very hard to cross that. Are you trying to get to Arcadia and the wetlands down there? What do you think? I saw your sister or brother at Abundance Farm. I don't think you could ever make it there. Too many roads to cross. Do you want to just hide in your shell sometimes? You're so cute. I want to pick you up, but I want to respect your bodily autonomy. Watch out, here comes a cyclist. Couple.
You're good?
Yeah, yeah. Just talking with a turtle.
Okay.
Well, thanks for hanging out. You could have easily run away or gone back into your shell. See you next time. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. How I'd love to watch them turn. All right, next. Oop, here's Jeff Tweedy. Casey. Here's your request.
Thanks for listening to Out There Today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. You can hear archived editions of Out There, which, by the way, if you heard the first half of this show, the first half that would have played on the air, not the first half that I thought I was doing over the air, but actually it wasn't. If you heard the first half of this show, you can hear that full show. I think that was about water conservation or water usage or something. You can hear that full show on the archives at weatherbeard.com/outthereArchive. And this show, today's show, will be put on the archive probably tonight or tomorrow. You can listen to any Valley Free Radio shows on the valleyfreeradio.org website and at the ARC player for 2 weeks, up to 2 weeks after the shows. That's the two-week archive. So yeah, Democracy Now! Comes up at 5, followed by Civil Politics at 6. Oh, a little nature update. This week I've been smelling or noticing the honey locust blossoms falling, which I never really noticed before. But I've been noticing them because I've got this daily habit this week of stopping in at Deals and Steals on my way back from downtown or Cans for Cancer and getting their 2-for-$1 coconut waters. Yeah, 99 cents for a liter of coconut water. And then sitting underneath the honey locust trees in the shade and being like, oh, what is all this stuff on the ground? Oh, it's the honey locust blossoms. Oh. Black locusts have a little bit of blossoms too, but I haven't really seen that many this year. Anyway, get the last of your rhubarb and asparagus.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton.